Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another reality show. I'm your host, Golden Hawk, and it is Third Thursdays. So by now, most of you know what that means. It means we have the wonderful Christina Keene, right? I'm so not used to using your last name. Is your last name?
Yeah, it's Christina Keene. Yeah, most people know me as Christina Sophia, so...
I was going to say, all of a sudden I was like, we're going to the next level of recognition for you, Christina. Christina Keene.
I always loved it because I went to business school, and one of the things they talk about is the KK, like Kellogg's, is one of the most marketable symbols you could have, is the KK. So when I was young, well, in college, I thought, hey, my name is marketable. So.
There you go. And little did you know there was a goddess in there that was going to help you do that.
Back then, I had no idea if I'd even known, my goodness.
So, how are you? How has your month been?
It's been actually really, really exciting. So I think for John and I, we were really kind of happy to leave the last year behind. I've been really getting into numerology with her, and the numerology of leaving a decade behind and opening up into a new decade.
Okay.
Yeah, it's made a total profound difference in my life in a way of, I don't know if she's talked to you about it. She talks about the last decade as being one of the dark decade or the shadow decade, where a lot of sensitive people were working through their shadow material. And this decade, we get to be in the light. So I think I've been having that experience and just being extremely motivated and, I don't know, ready to rock and roll. I'm ready to be in the light.
Well, that's hot. That is hot. Yeah, I can definitely resonate with the last decade being dark. But, you know, I for me, it's always the darkness. There is light. Like I say to my friends, there are packets of wisdom within the darkness that once I get to that wisdom, it's an alchemical process. It just absolutely flips the darkness into the light. So, they play with each other as opposed to against each other. I really believe this is, you know, it's all in divine order, the shadow as well as the light. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have found great value in dancing with the shadow, becoming good friends with the shadow, but now I'm inviting the shadow with me out in the great big sunshine right now. So.
Exactly. I mean, that doesn't mean, right? I mean, because I've been getting this sense about myself that, you know, if I indeed want heaven on earth, it is really at this point in time, I feel like the energy is going to respond deeply to me seeing, feeling, and experiencing right here, right now, my perception of heaven on earth.
Exactly. No, it's a great way to look at it. It is. It's all about our own perspective. And I think, too, for the month of January, one thing that Sophia has been teaching over and over again is how to carry the New Year's resolutions and the excitement and the ideas of what we want this year to be, how to actually carry that through. So it brings you through the whole year, just not the first couple of months in the year. So how do you make heaven on earth happen January, February, March, April, May, June, July? Like, keep on bringing that idea forward. And I think that's...
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's really exciting to me. I'm really looking forward. I find that sometimes, just like everyone else, I get all excited about New Year's resolutions, but it's about that commitment factor and creating accountability for myself that really helps me accomplish something at the end of the year. So,
right. Well, and I think it's also about understanding that a resolution should be the kickoff to a lifestyle.
Right.
And a life change. You know, we should be embracing this as a life change, not, you know, like you said, if we look at it as just the action of January or January, February, March even.
Right.
Ultimately, we're resisting our own new experience, because it's got to be, like, I seem to be having the awareness that for myself, a new idea first comes into my head, then it drops into my heart. And then there's almost a simultaneous that when I get it into my heart, it becomes a cellular experience.
Right, right. It's really interesting you say that. Sophia and I have been working on rounds of three, how things work in rounds of three. The first one being an idea. So an idea comes up. The next one being faith. That's the heart piece.
Okay.
And then the last one being the commitment or the action. So the idea, the word, the action. So, yeah, cool.
Yeah, I think she does. I think she comes to see me in my dreams.
She's talking to all of us all the time. It's just a matter of figuring out, how does Sophia speak to you? You know, I think that's one of the big key questions with her. How does she show up in your life? So, totally. Cool.
Yeah. So you were mentioning pre-show that you have some exciting events coming up. Are you open to bringing that up? And let's bring that into the mix.
Yeah, I'd love to talk about it. So last year, going back to last year, my big commitment was to put myself on camera and to be seen channeling Sophia. And I'm really proud to say that I figured out how to put my whole newsletter, Insights, together. And that gave me a format where I really needed. I made myself commit to a video a week. So I started it, I think, in March or April, and by the end of the year, I had actually produced 25 videos. So I just want to go, yay to me for that.
Yes, wait, I second that. Yay, Christina, because
yay.
I remember when you first started, and I am always, it's a lifestyle change. You know what I'm saying? It became part of you, and you're blossoming beautifully. Kudos. Kudos, indeed.
I was excited. And then my second round of commitment, so that was, you know, sitting in front of a camera in front of a computer screen. That's how I did those recordings. And then this year, it's really about getting out into the world and really letting Sophia have more and more interactions with people, and me really helping people to understand the transition of channeling me and her, what it means, all of that. So this year, I'm really going to try and create as many events as I can, and I'm trying to show as many people as possible how you can engage with Sophia. So that's my New Year's resolution, or one of them this year, is to do more events. So that's my little bridge for this one. And then this month, or let's see, next month, it's, you know, Valentine's Day, which I always think is a very exciting, interesting, sometimes horrifying.
It all depends on where you look when you're looking, where you're standing when you look at that holiday. Yes, indeed.
Actually, so I thought, what a great time to share Sophia with the world. So on February 12th, which is a Friday, 2 days before the holiday, we'll be at Bodhi Tree in LA. And if anyone wants to come down, I'd love to see everyone. It's $5 in advance, $10 at the door. I just want to get as many people there as possible. And we're talking about this thing that she created last year, which is Love Potion Number 9. And it was really actually a joke. Last year, John and I were flying on February 1st. We were talking about the year to come. And I had said, hey, do me a favor to ask Sophia, ask her this. Is there such thing as a potion? How can you make someone or bring love into someone's life? And I was really kidding, actually. But John, you know, doing his little duty, said, okay, let's ask her. And she says, yes, there is a formula, and literally asked him, hey, can I have a notebook? And she started to map out this thing she was calling Love Potion at the time, 2009. And she started to map out these 9 different steps. And if you follow a particular formula or a particular set of actions, that you really can evoke the experience of love. So,
wow.
Yeah, so we're going to be talking about that. So I'll be handing out the article that I wrote where she breaks it all down, but we're going to be going over it in the audience and kind of really taking everyone through those three. It's three steps of three. So it's 3, 3, and 3, which equals the 9. And that's what she says people don't understand, is that whole idea of Love Potion Number 9 is 3 to the 3rd power.
Indeed.
I know.
Indeed.
It's been very exciting. So that's what we're doing in the beginning of the month. And at the end of the month, we'll be in New England in Attleboro. It's the same place that I was a couple months ago. And we will be doing a little video recording where we're going to get to tape Sophia on video. And we invite anyone to come out to that. That's on the 21st, which is a Sunday.
Okay. Okay.
And then what's really exciting, Goldie, so this is what's so much fun. We actually invite everyone out to come out to dinner with us afterwards. and you get to sit at the dinner table and watch it. Sophia comes in and out, so Sophia supports everyone in dinner and eats and drinks. It's hysterical.
Why do I picture Sophia being totally open to, like, a food fight? I don't know why. That is just my visual, like, playfully, of course, and I recognize that people might show up in, you know, in very beautiful clothing and things of that nature. I just, because I really wanted to make it the last time you were in Attleboro. I think, what happened, I had a nanny gig come up, and I just needed the money. But it'll be, Sunday is a much easier nanny day. So Friday and Saturday nights tend to be big, you know, like, if you're a nanny, these are nights that clearly you get booked. So I do hope to make it in, you know, give you a physical hug and, you know, maybe have a food fight with Sophia.
Yeah, face-to-face. Well, I mean, it's really actually hysterical to watch, you know, how she holds a drink, what her experience is of having a cocktail after, and to watch, you know, the waitresses, the people in the room respond to her. It's a really amazing learning experience. So there's been a lot of my clients that have gotten to see Sophia out in the world. But if anyone is in the New England area, I really say come and check it out. Not only does she, you know, teach in the workshop we do, but seeing her in the world is just, it's one of those wow moments where you really get to see that somehow the world does recognize when wisdom shows up in one way or the other. Like, you see people, like, tilting their head. The waitresses stop. People start coming over. What's going on over here?
Oh, wow. That's so cool.
Yeah.
So the goddess Sophia is going on over here.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And we're doing that same thing in Houston, Texas as well. So it's my first time going to Houston, and we're going to have an event there on March 9th. And that one's all around the Academy Awards, and Sophia's going to talk about how to turn your own life into an Academy Award achievement. And then again after that event, we're going to go out to dinner. So the wisdom with dinner, I don't know, something about that. It's like, what is it, dinner and a movie or something like that?
Well, I think it really brings her into it's a remarkable, you know, food and dinner, there's you know, that's when families come together around the table to eat. So I think that says, you know, that says a lot about you and John and Sophia, of course, just in the atmosphere that's being created here.
Yeah.
Of, you know, that kind of, that spiritual family. It might not be the blood, but it's the spiritual family link.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's exactly right. And I do want to, I think sometimes it's really hard for us to take all of this information into our everyday worlds. And I think it's really great to model that you can come right out of a workshop and really begin to apply all the things that she shares right there in the moment. It just takes that little bit of courage to push yourself past the norm. And I mean, just really, really great. And I think that's really the goal this year, is to show and to model that Sophia's techniques are actually very usable in the world. You just got to have a little courage and try them, but they actually work.
Yeah, and the desire to want to put in, you know, a new energy into the experience. I mean, because that's, you know, there's so much talk about big change coming in 2010. And, you know, on some level, I believe we're consciously choosing it. And on some other levels, I believe the choice is kind of being made within. Now just go with the change. You know, put on a new hat and, you know, look at yourself anew. Seem to be, you know, not really, quote, unquote, programmed for that type of change. Children are.
Right.
But I think that as we get older, we tend to be like, this is the hat I wear. This is my name.
Right.
This is where I am. This is my job. And life is becoming more fluid. And it's really can be a wonderful playground to play in when, you know, when we also become, you know, just even in just our thinking process becoming more fluid,
exactly.
You know, with the idea of being open and things of that nature. You know, and it's so funny, I'm listening to myself say this, and, you know, because one thing I love about our shows is we're very real, you know, like, if the shit's hitting the fan, we speak on it, you know, and
talk about it.
We talk about it, and I must say that I wasn't going to bring this up, but the more I resist it, the more the voice inside me goes, no, this is probably, I'm sure others might be able to resonate with the past 19 days of January. I mean, for me, January 1st absolutely felt new. I mean, like, I can't explain it tangibly, but as soon as it was January 1st, I had a sense of excitement. I had a sense of change be a coming, and I be here to, you know, my arms are open, you know, like almost like I welcomed the tsunami and said, you know, bring it on. Now, what's so interesting about this is I changed my telephone service from AT&T landline, whatever the regular phone lines are, to AT&T U-verse, which an interesting thing is going on is that I have lost my identity with AT&T U-verse. I am now, my caller ID shows up as my father's name. I had no voicemail. I changed over, it was like January 7th or 8th, and just yesterday I got access to my voicemail for the longest time. Even 2 weeks before Christmas, I wasn't getting messages, and there were some responses for radio shows, and it was just between that and anybody that's following me on Facebook also knows that yesterday I had a virus, the Windows Media virus, which seems to be a popular virus.
Right.
And what I'm finding, you know, interesting is, for me, there are many challenges that I am clearly living with and working through. But here is the biggest shift that I have had. Effortlessly, it appears for me, not appears, I experience these dramas from the witness perspective. And what I have been finding lately is my heart is absolutely in a space of, I have my patience is there, my compassion, yet I literally, my body needs to have the tantrum. And yet, when I'm having the tantrum, I'm in the witness space where I'm watching it, so the body is going, wah, 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 you know, and yet as soon as I have the tantrum, it's completely gone, and I'm in the space of, okay, I feel better now, and I'm in a total compassionate space. Now, I'm not sure why, and Sophia might be able to help me out tonight with this, but like I said, it seems that the cells need to experience the tantrum, but emotionally, I am not. It's not my story anymore. I really do have the acknowledgement of, no, my story is, listen, I'm okay, you know, all right, so I have an identity crisis. That's okay. It's just not the end of the world. It's not the end of the world that I can't get my messages because I have other forms of communication. Well, I did up until yesterday, which was the computer. You know what I sense most of all? The victim is gone.
Or integrated,
but
right?
Or better, yeah, thank you. Yes. The victim is integrated, but the baby, because the tantrum still lives, but not the victim.
Right.
And that's a huge shift.
Yeah, well, I imagine it is a huge shift. And I think it's really interesting that I imagine that a lot of this is what Sophia has been working on with me very personally, in my own personal time as well as professional time, developing both personal and professional, talking about how when the old shows up, something hard happens.
Okay.
About that witness point of view, how it's interesting to witness it, because in the past, the victim, the person that's upset, that's angry at it, wants to fix it or make
Okay.
And she's been saying that the new perspective, the new way to look at it, is this scenario is showing up right now in the moment to give us a solution for the next time it shows up, so that we don't fix it now. We look ahead for the solution, so that wisdom is arriving in what looks to be chaos. We can't get our emails, we're feeling crappy, something happened. But instead of that old modality of make it better, we look and say, when this happens in the future, what resources can I pull out now that informs me of the solution in the future? So it's about like using the hardship to inform you of the next time. Does that make sense?
Completely. I mean, completely. Because it almost feels like it becomes a prediction instead of a contradiction. It's crazy.
Yeah,
but
and then it's also validating that this hardship, whatever it may be, is extremely valuable, because you're finally not, and this is, you know, I claim this as well, I'm finally not so attached to it where I'm angry. I mean, same with
yeah.
me. My body might be going through something. There's a storyline, but I'm not so devastated by it anymore. There's a frustration with it. But what she's asking is drop the frustration and see that it's showing up because it wants to inform you. It wants to give you the solution. So the shadow side, the dark side, the hardship shows up to give you the solution. So that next time the phone goes out, next time something happens, you would already have a solution in place.
Because yeah, I totally resonate with it. It is
yeah.
fascinating. Yes. Yes, and it is definitely I didn't have that beautiful wording of it, but I'm having the experience of it. And this is kind of what I mean by it seems like it's already like January 1st came with this energy for all of us.
Yeah.
In other words, all we have to do is just take a breath in the midst of the chaos, and you really will see as an experience that it feels different.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think that it's definitely a new time right now. It definitely is different. And I think that number 10, you know, it really signifies, Sophia's talked about the 10 as perfection. So if we were to think of the Olympics and a scoring system, a 10.
Oh, okay,
it's
yeah.
a perfect 10, you know. So she's been saying this is the year that every, and I love this tool. I've been doing it over and over again, is that every time you write the date and you have to write 10 at the end, that you actually say in your mind's eye, 10, perfection.
Perfection. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that. I like that.
I mean, I must have said perfection. I mean, writing checks, just checking on the date. And every time, you know, John, we will we'll document the date and say, you know, 2010, the year of perfection.
I love the acknowledgement. Yeah, this is heaven on earth.
Yeah, exactly.
That part of it. Yes.
And then the 10 is also a signifier of the 0 as well, because then we start into that new digit, which is a complete starting over. It's an opportunity to go through the 0 to 9, the 1 through 9 all over again. So it's like this year is a whole new opportunity. It's like a blank slate that you get to recreate yourself all over again.
I like that as well.
So I'm excited. I can feel how packed this month is. I imagine for a lot of people this month is, because it's a big change, but we're processing through coming out of the old, where
yeah.
we're still in the last 10 decades. You know, we're still trying to go, woo, did we really climb through that, you know, 0 through 9 staircase? Like, wow, that was a big deal, you know. So,
exactly, exactly.
Yeah,
you know what, we have a caller? Are you, only because
yeah,
I sure. have a feeling, my sense is telling me they actually want to talk to you, Christina.
All right, we'll see. And then if not, we'll just talk to Sophia.
Oh, there you go, there you go. But I didn't mean to interrupt. I apologize for that. They've been waiting, but I was like, we got to get a little bit of, you know, the show, you know, let's get a little juices going. Hi, 719, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is Denise.
Hi, Denise.
Hi, how are you?
We're great. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I was just wanting to ask what my life purpose is.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, so I'm actually going to bring Sophia through for that, but I actually, if you don't mind, Denise, I'll give you a couple of hints before she comes in.
Okay.
Always she's going to talk about life purpose. I'll just give you, this is some of the philosophy or the teaching that that Sophia gives, is that we have a lot more than one purpose. She's going to talk usually about how we're like a multifaceted diamond that, you know, that it shines brilliantly, but there's all these different facets to you, so that instead of imagining that there's one thing for you to do here, that I'm sure she's going to talk about there are a lot of things that you're here to do. I think a lot of times that idea of one purpose, it kind of makes us feel stuck a little. Like if we don't figure it out, we're in trouble. Does that make sense?
Well, it's like the one soulmate too. I mean, all this stuff that has only one for us seems a little on the limited side.
Yeah, but it's so much pressure to, like, get it. I think what she's going to start talking about, so then I'm opening us all to this perspective that everything that you're passionate about, everything that gets you excited is part of your purpose or purposes, that you're here for multiple purposes. And then I think as we start to shift our mind into we're here for lots of things, it gets so much easier because, yeah, I can feel the, like, pain of I don't know my purpose, you know, where, you know, I want to say to you, yes, you do. You know, you're it's in there, and there are lots of purposes, and you don't have to so worry about nailing it exactly. Like, you don't have to get it exactly right. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does make sense.
Yeah, cool. Okay, and so what I'll do, I'm not sure if you have ever, you know, checked in with us before, but I just take a breath or so, and then you'll get Sophia, and she'll answer your question as well.
Thank you.
Okay, guys, I'll be back later.
All right, love you, Christina.
Thank you. All right, good, and hello, my friends. It is Sophia, excited to join you all today. Hello, Goldie.
Hello, Goddess Sophia. Thank you for joining us.
Good, and it is Denise, yes?
Yes.
Hello, Denise. How are you?
Hi there. I'm great. How are you?
I am lovely, and I am so honored that you called in with this very, let's call it a personal question. As much as it feels like people ask this question all the time, I really feel that your heart is very engaged in this question. What is my purpose? And it's something that almost haunts you at night. Does this make sense?
Yes.
It keeps you up a little, like, what? There's something. So right away I want to say to you, beloved, is that you are already on your path, okay? So as much as you may doubt that, I really want you to imagine that you already have found the path of purpose. So whether or not you know that or not, let me say to you that if we were in Oz right now, I would say to you, look down, and you are on the yellow brick road.
Mm.
Is that okay?
Okay.
Can you imagine that you're on? I'm sorry?
That's good to know.
Good. So what we're going to do, everyone, we're going to look down and say, I'm on the path of purpose. Okay, so just actually, Goldie, why don't you repeat after me? I'm on the path of purpose.
I'm on the path of purpose.
I found the yellow brick road.
I found the yellow brick road.
Good. Okay, your turn, Denise. I'm on the path of purpose.
I'm on the path of purpose.
I found my yellow brick road.
I found my yellow brick road.
Good. Now, this may seem really silly, but what I am doing, now I'm going to show you behind the scenes. What I'm doing is lightening up this energy of purpose. So what Christina did is say, oh, my goodness, one purpose makes us feel like, oh, will we ever get it? So by bringing us to Oz, I'm going to show you that it's like coming to a whole new land. When we understand we are here for multiple purposes, that we're going to meet up with the scarecrow, we're going to meet up with the lion, we're going to meet up with the tin man, we're going to have some experiences, and we're going to find ourselves in a brand new land at the end. It reminds you that the path of purpose is supposed to be playful, fun, and a little bit scary, right? We got the witch coming in. Oh, no, are we going to get there? And the good. And
sorry.
The point is,
I love this.
laugh away, right? Because once we lighten up on the path of purpose and we say, okay, now I got to find my heart. Now I got to find my courage. Now I got to find my brain. Look at my shoes up. I got the red shoes. Let's walk some. Let's travel some. And on that journey, my purposes are going to show up. I'm going to discover them along the way. Fair enough?
Okay.
Okay. So now here are the tools. We start with, what does your heart tell you? So remember I said we have to find heart. So we begin with the three levels that I love the Wizard of Oz because it is a metaphor on how to really find our purposes. Because we say, what are all the things our heart wants? What are all the things that we need a little push and courage to do? And how do we manage the brain that tells us we're stupid, that we can't figure it out, and we don't know the answer? So let's start with your heart. What does your heart tell you? What does your heart say? What are some of the things you love to do? So I'll tell you right away, your heart says, I have to help people. I'm here to serve people. Is that correct?
Yes, exactly.
Good. So now I'm going to tell you, by helping other people, the way to figure out helping other people is to become the happiest individual you've ever become. In your happiness, you begin to serve, and the pathways of serving easier shows up. Because when we try to figure it out the other way around, then it always becomes hard because we haven't fed ourselves. We haven't cared for ourselves. We have said, someone else is more worthy than me. Let me take care of them before I take care of myself. Does this make sense?
Yes.
Good. So I want you to tell me all of the things that are indulgences. Now, it doesn't have to be all, but we're going to go back and forth, okay? We're going to get one from Goldie, one from you. Something that's delicious to you, Goldie. Something that your heart says is absolutely yummy.
Absolutely yummy. Double chocolate layered cake.
Good. I'm going to say to you right now, double chocolate layered cake, in some way or the other, it's part of one of your many purposes. Ready? I'm going to expand on it. When we see all of those layers, when we dig in, when we bring that delicious taste to our mouth and go, our whole body opens up. Chocolate is also psychic elixir. So for you, that chocolate double cake, you work on multiple levels psychically. You take a big bite of that cake, and it's like filling yourself up with the elixir that says, you give out so much, now let's treat you.
Oh, outstanding. And I do love my chocolate. I love it. Yes.
How funny that chocolate is part of your purpose. Okay, Denise, tell me something that you love.
I'm going to the beach.
Good. Beautiful, beloved. I'm going to
And I live in Colorado, so I can't do it often.
Not so easy.
That's right. But we're going to start getting some essences right now, okay? Because there are a couple things about the beach for you, one of which is the expansiveness of the ocean. So one of the things you love is to look out and you see this ocean that is so expansive that part of you recognizes your soul in the vastness of the water. You recognize yourself in that experience. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah.
So let's say, what do we have in Colorado? We have expansive. Can you see the mountains anywhere?
Yeah, I can see Pikes Peak from where I live.
Good. So let's say that the metaphor of the water, we're going to give you some more to show you how this is part of your purpose, but one of your many purposes is to understand yourself as expansive. So now we take the water image and we bring it to the peaks, we bring it to the mountains, and we see that one of your purposes is to expand the chest, to expand the heart, and begin to fill yourself with that feeling of, I am vast, I am big, I am beautiful. And that mountain, that ocean doesn't worry about, right, am I being the right mountain, right? Am I crashing the waves down in the right way, right? Both of those just exist. They are magnificent, and they be it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Good. So what I'm going to ask you to do is keep on writing things down. This is what I love, and out of it, there's meaning in it. So I'm going to keep going just for a couple more. So water.
Okay.
Is also your emotional body. So if you keep on looking, I use everything as metaphor here. So I used expansiveness of the ocean, and you immediately said, but I don't live there, right? And so I showed you how the water is reflected through the mountains. It's just a different version of it. Water is also reflective of our emotional body. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm going to say to you, one of your purposes has to do with that you have an expansive emotional body, that you feel collective emotions, that you can walk into a room. Let's say you walk into some place like a funeral where someone has just crossed. You actually experience the collective wave of mourning. You experience the collective energy of emotions. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Good. One of your purposes is to understand how to utilize this and how to not let this drown you, right?
Yeah, because taking on everybody's feelings can be overwhelming.
Good. Okay. It can be very overwhelming. So we're going to see that learning how to manage this extreme emotional body is, yes, I can pick it up, I sense it, and now I say, how do I just find my experience in it, okay? So what I want you to see is that there are so many purposes for you, and they all have to do with opening up your heart and beginning to think in metaphor, in ways that are imagery. So if you listen to the show tonight, you will see that Goldie over and over again creates images, talks in images. This is one of the reasons you're calling tonight, because what you're wishing for is the ability to think in images, in metaphors, in using that childlike imagination, because that's where your answers come from. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. And we can
that helps a lot.
Feel the voice, Goldie. Oh, yes. It,
yeah.
It lifts right up. And so what we're going to do is we're both going to give you a hug. Everyone imagine
yeah.
that.
Oh, definitely, Denise. Definitely.
Thank you.
Delicious, right? And yeah. What we're going to say to you, beloved, is that as you journey with this question of my purpose, I want you to add the S to it, purposes, and I want you to keep on using imagery. I want you to take a journal, and remember, I am on my yellow brick road. So I'm already giving you some of the images. So gold, bricks, following a path that's going to help you, red shoes, some little sassiness in your world, connecting with the heart, right? So what does my heart speak to me? What do I need a little courage, a little roar of the lion to help me with? And how do I manage that doubting brain of mine that says, I'm dumb, I can't figure it out, I don't know. So let's say the Tin Man for you is stopping that voice that says, I don't know, and remembering that you do know. You're on the path, and all you got to do is play a little more, and it will come to you. Good?
Great.
And the
I appreciate
funny thing
it.
Is, I appreciate you calling, and the funny thing is we just created a map way. We might all want to go out and get the Wizard of Oz right now, watch it, and understand that it is a bit of a map way to living soulfully. All of the images, all of the metaphors, here comes the ugly witch, yes, that shadow side, fear material, right? Water, yes, cleanses that fear, right? The water, the bucket that, she melts away, right?
Right.
Okay.
She's just, I love Goddess Sophia. Please, Denise, don't take it personally. She just always makes me chuckle.
Oh,
please continue.
chuckling makes us really lighten up, and that's the point here. So what I'm saying is that storyline could be really important to you, beloved, because everything I say is very purposeful. It's very chosen specifically for you, and that you're modeling to everyone listening that it's really important for us to bring forth our questions and then begin to play with them and trust that our answers are here for us. Thank you so much for calling tonight.
Thank you.
Can we blow kisses? Will you blow us some
kisses? Denise, thank you very much for calling.
Thank you.
Yeah, life is going, 2010, it's a wonderful journey. It's an adventure. That was exquisite, Sophia. That was,
okay.
I mean, I got visuals of the little munchkins. That was, my giggling is the little munchkins.
For you, those are all the children, that children energy coming
exactly.
in, the adults that are actually children, right?
Exactly.
Right? And they're walking
indeed.
Around playing, and in their work, they're playing, and they're laughing, and they're having fun, but they're actually a whole society of adults that are just little, right, to remind us that we can bring that spirit of child with us.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, you know, I just want to tell a quick story about one of the 5-year-old that I sit for, that I nanny with.
Yes.
After I found out about my computer having a virus, I went to work that yesterday, and Anya could immediately pick up. She's like, "What's the matter?" And I was like, "You know, I'm a little sad. My computer got sick, and you know, I'm supposed to go see a friend tonight, but I don't think I'm going to go." And Anya goes, "Well, why not?" And I go, "Well, I'm just kind of sad, and I don't know that, you know, I want, you know, to be around my friend because I'm going to bring that sadness with me." And Anya goes, "When I feel sad, the thing that cheers me up the most is cheering up somebody else."
Mm.
I swear, Sophia, I started crying. I was like, you know, from the mouths of babes. The wisdom of Anya, I was like, "Anya, you make me happy. You make me tremendous." It just became so irrelevant. So I don't have a computer for a few days. You know, like, I could see it bringing up all my addiction habits with the whole computer game being the life game. And
yes.
And how important what she said about human contact.
Yes.
It was just profound. I told her mother, and the two of us are like, you know, tearing up in the kitchen at the end of the day. It just shifted me immediately for the rest of the day. There was nothing to be sad about. It was all about, you know, it's okay. Just acceptance, and it's okay. It just, there was this wave of a master. I felt like I was in the presence of a master.
Yes, well, we are seeing that our children really have a lot to share with us. The children these days have a lot to say, and let's really look. It's coming off of a question around purpose, Goldie, and we know that one of your purposes is to share the wisdom of children, to share the story. So this child enlightens you in the moment, but guess what you have? You have a platform bigger than that child does right now. You have a radio show. You have a Facebook page. You have a lot of people that follow you now that you, so she provides wisdom, and you say, "I recognize wisdom and let me share it with all," right?
Yes,
so
indeed.
Share that story tonight, and let's not forget, Goldie, you have lots of stories like that. So hint, hint, books around children.
Yes, book is coming, book is coming. I'm waiting for the, this is funny too, I'm waiting for the program where if you speak, it'll type it onto your computer. Because I'm not a good typer, but I'm a good speaker.
Yes. What you can start doing is recording your stories right now. So
yes, yes.
whether you like to write or not, in a journal, you can write down, number one, yes, on your story about computer virus. So you have it listed. Because, again, when we start keeping track, that this stuff happens to you all the time. Little ones come up to you and share with you masterful thoughts all the time, right?
Absolutely. That is the truth, yeah.
We begin to see that you're the voice of the young ones. You're someone that will help the young ones have a platform so that the world will begin to see that they have a lot to teach us.
Oh, wow. You know, that's, Sophia, I am much more comfortable writing a book about that. And it's not that because I thought my story was going to be the autobiographical, you know, coming out from the dark into the light. But I'll be honest with you, what you just said feels to me that the world needs to hear the children's wisdom as the masterful, wise beings they are right now, more than they need to know my darkness into light story. So thank you very much for that. Thank you.
Let's really look at that as something that people, you could call it stuck in all of the time, because our minds say we have to create one thing, and really the evidence is always showing us something different. So your mind has said, I need to show the story of dark to light. So part of you there is, okay, I got to create that story. But over and over and over again, children keep on telling you pieces of wisdom, and you feel compelled to tell it. You feel compelled to share it. So it shows up. It shows you that what your mind thinks is the story is just getting your head around book, getting your head around publishing. What's showing up is your material.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. So I want everyone to hear the lesson here. The lesson is your mind knows, let's say, an outline. Your mind knows a general direction, a book, right? And then whatever your mind gibbers in your head about, it should be about this, it's got to be about that, when I'm ready, I'll do it this way, just stop for a moment and say, I know it's a book. Now let me watch what shows up over and over and over and over again. Once it hits you the 10th time, you'll go, oh, yes, of course.
Exactly.
That book will fly out of me. I can even type that book. I don't have to wait for it because it will fly out of me.
You're right.
Right.
Yeah.
And that is real inspiration. The stuff that flies out of us is what we have been waiting for all along.
Oh, my God. That really is. It feels like you have just unblocked a major artery in me.
Good. Well, unblock the artery of the heart that has been waiting to really flow through you. So that idea haunts you. Oh, when I get this program, when I.
Yeah.
You can't recognize the first version of your book to come out is about the children.
Absolutely. Oh, and it'll be, it's almost like I feel already filled in its, like, knowingness that it's complete, as opposed to, okay, we're going to go visit, you know, some of those dark spaces I had. And like I said, I don't mind visiting those dark spaces to let anybody know that the life will get better. You know, the potential for light, even though it's a dark space. I'm all for that, but as I was telling Christina at the beginning of the show, I have this strong desire since January 1st to focus on heaven on earth. That's all that illuminates me right now is the focus of heaven on earth, and this absolutely falls into that category.
Okay, so let's look at heaven on earth, okay? Now let's look at what song is it? It's an 80s song. Is it Staircase to Heaven? What is that song?
Oh, Led Zeppelin, Stairway to Heaven.
Stairway to Heaven, okay?
Okay.
So, heaven on earth, we imagine that those things are juxtaposed together. Just that statement, heaven on earth, right, looks like heaven is juxtaposed, that they're simultaneously happening. You ready for the big kicker? There is a staircase to heaven. So what you're saying is 2010, heaven on earth, let's transpose it and say, I am going to walk the staircase to heaven.
I love it.
Because there's steps, right? There's steps to get there. You just don't manifest it like that. There are steps to get there. So this is the year of succinctly taking a step, taking the step to walk up to heaven, right? So you're on earth, you walk up to heaven, you gather all of the tools, and then you walk heaven down. That's how you take heaven to earth. You walk up to it and you walk down.
Yes. I am going to tell you next month that this has already begun. I was so lethargic tonight until you started this conversation.
Good.
Yeah.
So let me give you some practical tools, and I'm going to reflect on the things I have been teaching about all month, because really the third to fourth week in January are all about looking back, making reflections, and then looking forward. So this month I have spoken about trackability. So already you know, heaven on earth, I want to go up a staircase, and I want to include telling the children's stories somewhere in there. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Okay, so if we were to say, is that an emotional thing or is that a rational thing? Did that click in as, oh, I finally get it, or is it an emotional story? So let's just claim, emotional or rational? Maybe a little bit of both, but which do you fall on?
I think the stronger of it is the emotion.
Good, the emotion.
I want the world to know that they really are masters in those little bodies.
Good. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's call an emotional goal, we're going to call a resolution. That anytime, let's say New Year's resolutions, we're sitting around a table, right, and we're talking about what we want from the world, what we want our next year to look like, it's emotional that comes up. Whatever we're talking about is emotional. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yep,
so let's call this your New Year's resolution, that you would like to take steps towards telling the children's story of wisdom. Make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay, so we got one resolution, and then what I've also been teaching is that we choose one goal. We choose something rational. So in your case, Goldie, we can actually combine them both. We can do the New Year's resolutions. You want to tell this story in ways that you practice. So you could say each month you dedicate a show of yours to starting to tell the children's stories, right? So that's something you can do easily once a month, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, how does that feel? You don't have to take that on, but really a resolution you
You just read my mind, I'll be honest with you, because I was already like, well, I can do the book, but who am I kidding? I can literally dedicate a show to not just the stories that I have of mastery from children, but invite other people on who can tell stories of their own masters.
Good. So we already put down something that you can do once a month that fulfills this New Year's resolution, right?
Yes.
So already we're accomplishing that right now in January because we're talking about the children, right?
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
So by the end of the year, Goldie, you're going to have 12 radio programs dedicated to the stories of children that could be transcribed and turned immediately into an ebook, something already. Those shows themselves could be the thing that you produce, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so there is this part that you do naturally, the spoken word, right?
Yes.
Okay, so now let's move on, because what I've been teaching this year is one resolution and one goal. So resolution is emotional. A goal is going to be rational. So in the rational realms, we're going to look at, so in resolution, we're going to take one action per month, which you've already dedicated a show. So at the end of the year, you'll have 12 shows. Huge, right?
Huge.
Huge. So let's move
on. I mean, it will literally change my lineup. It will change everything. Okay.
It will change everything. It's exciting because when we actually plan it, when we put it into our calendar, we will accomplish it. So accountability. So then we move on to goals and say goals are rational. So what I would say to you is that – it's really important for that written word to push through just the spoken word, but to get to the written word. So I would look at, so I have taught that a goal, we want to be rational and we want to take 2 actions per month. So something we'll just make up here, and you can adjust it on your own, Goldie, but 2 times in 1 month, you will write down, whether you type it, you handwrite it, it doesn't matter, you will full on write out a story, right? Write out a story of a child that you know someone has told you, it was on the radio program, right? So let's imagine that if 2 times in a month, so you're just writing 2 writing pieces, 2 different stories, right?
Okay.
By the end of the year, you would have had 12 different radio shows dedicated to children's wisdom and 24 little short stories about children that are masterful.
Yes.
Right? At the end of the year, Goldie, you would have taken, so let's say we're going to start next month. We're already accomplishing this month in terms of the resolution, but let's say the goals we would start next month, right? So 2 stories starting next month. So you'd have 22 stories written out and 12 radio programs, right? So the end of the year, Goldie, you have taken 34 action steps towards, sharing children's mastery.
Yes.
Feel that, right?
I can feel that. I mean, this is something I have, first I was an advocate for the children, but now I really want to be, I don't want to say advertiser, I mean, I was kind of just playing with the words, but it really is that they deserve this recognition. I really believe that, you know, we have an old paradigm running through our belief systems where we are missing, we are overlooking, I mean, just literally, because they only come up to usually our knees and our thighs.
Yes.
The wisdom that is right in front. I mean, in fact, Anya's mother actually said to me, I'm so grateful that you tell me of these things because I truly would not notice them. You know, she's a wonderful human being. She's a wonderful parent, but she tends to focus on the disciplining of her child because she wants the best for her child, that it doesn't always come apparent to her how wise her child already is.
Good. And here you are telling the reason, Goldie, why the world needs your book, your storytelling, your 12 shows, as well as your 22 stories. You're already giving us the reason why the world needs it, because the world is used to teaching the children, not spending time listening, that the children are here to teach us.
Yes, God bless. Yes, exactly.
Good. So here we're going to go. We're going to ground in real tools and techniques, because guess what, everyone? January is the month to ground in real tools and techniques for success. Do you want this year, 2010, to be successful? Do you want it to be heaven on earth? Well, guess what? You have to create a plan. Without a plan, life will take over, right? And we'll get through another 12 months and we'll say, oh, man, remember that idea I had last year? Oh no, I only did one show. Oh no, I didn't. This year, we're going to say I did, because we made a plan of action and we followed through.
Sophia, I am touched in my heart by what we're talking about.
Good.
I really am touched by this. Yeah.
I am touched because you provide a very solid example for what I have been teaching through the YouTube videos. So if anyone is interested in going through this philosophy, sign up for the Insights. That's the newsletter that Christina and I produce. And I've been taking people step by step through this month and showing them that at the end of the year, if you would have taken 12 steps towards a resolution and 22 steps towards any goal, 34 steps in any direction, equals success. You will feel like a new person at the end of the year. And Goldie, what you did is provide a real lovely example of how you can combine the resolution with the goal and how it all makes sense together, because it's really not that hard to do. What we just scored for you, it may take a little effort, it may take a little shuffling, but to sit down and to write a story that's so close to your heart, right?
Absolutely. It's very easy to do. And it's a short story. It's not a novel. I mean, it's literally... It's a story. It's almost like, because I have the image of the Chicken Soup for the Soul books,
yes.
How they would write stories like that. And, you know, because I'm definitely, novel becomes overwhelming to me, which is what I thought, I thought I was going to write an autobiography. And that's not to say at some point in my life I won't do that. But right now, like, you really do, you go directly into the child in me that says, oh, my God, of course I can write a couple of stories, especially when they're the magical stories that I want to share with the world. Exactly what you're saying, you're reading the blueprint of myself, and it's like,
thank you.
My God, it's exquisite. It's
well,
exquisite.
Thank you.
I want to let the callers know, I'm going to get to you. We have a whole hour left, I promise. These are just universal truths for everyone that I want, you know, to talk about the three steps, because I believe it can help everybody. And then we have other callers that we'll get to. I just wanted the callers to know that. So.
Good. So, Goldie, to sum up, that's what I do. I help people look at their blueprint. I help to say, what is that thing that really is in your heart? So your head says book, we're going to value book, and we're going to expand it so that it becomes easy with commitment and dedication. So it's real easy that we say it. It's a whole nother thing to commit to it. It's a whole nother thing to track yourself this month, next month, the month after, the month after, the month after, and really shoot to work towards 12 radio shows and 22 short stories. By doing that, what you have done is said to the universe, I am so serious in my commitment. And that is the traveling up the staircase to heaven and traveling back down. You've traveled up and down because you've followed something for 12 months.
It's exquisite. I've already got my mind is already going, okay, now there's Daniel Jacobs who talks about the star children. I mean, it's like there's a focus. I mean, it really will reinvent another reality show. It'll be another expression of truly what – it's like it's bridging the gap of the nanny work and the radio.
Yes, and it will take a
That's
life.
That's huge.
And you don't have to figure out, well, how is this story going to fit in? What's the intro going to be? That doesn't matter. What matters is producing or taking actions on those steps. And once you're doing it, once the radio shows start, once you've written four pieces, all of the puzzle will start falling in when you commit to the clear action. What we did today is just make a blueprint of the clear action you will take, and you'll find that the book will start producing itself. It will take on a life of its own.
Oh, indeed. No, it's exquisite.
Good.
It's
so
exquisite.
What I want to tell everyone is really all of this stuff is tracked out. What I am going to do this month through our newsletter Insight is take you month by month by month by month, showing you the steps, that little tiny steps and changes that you will make in your life, that if we follow through this whole action plan for 1 year, next year, you will all be applauding yourself, popping open those champagne bottles, shaking it and saying, I truly am the rock star because I took 34 steps this year. I am awesome, right?
Yes.
Good, beloved. All right, so you and I went on a big tangent. Shall we jump to the callers and see what's going on?
Oh, absolutely. So much blessings to you, Sophia. So many blessings.
Thank you, beloved.
Oh, indeed. Area code 781, you are on the air with Goddess Sophia.
Hello, Sophia.
Hello, beloved. Who's speaking tonight?
It's Gretchen.
Gretchen, beloved, how are you?
I'm fine, Sophia. I'm fine. I've been enjoying listening for the first time on
the
radio.
Welcome to the show.
Well, thank
Gretchen
you.
Gretchen Goldie Gretchen.
Hello, Goldie.
Hi, Gretchen. Pleasure. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. I have a question, and Sophia and I have spoken many times concerning my daughter, and this is kind of tying into tonight's theme of moving forward. She's 31 years old, has realized her career path is not sustainable, and is in a very fairly deep depression. And as I'm listening, making these steps and doing these resolutions, and knowing that she has to experience this and will learn through the difficult process, I'm wondering if there is anything, without overstepping, that could help her, that could guide her through this depression a bit to get to where she may be able to take these steps forward.
Good, beloved. Great. So what I'm going to share with everyone listening is that Gretchen is what we call a family intuitive. She's someone that intuits what's going on with families and knows how to offer tangible tools. Okay, Gretchen, so stretch with me here. Knows how to offer tangible tools to help family members without stepping over boundaries, without being the pushy mom, the pushy aunt, the pushy father. So what we have been developing together is her business on how she helps people with their families take steps forward. Is that okay that I did that introduction for you?
Yes, it certainly is. Thank you, Sophia. Yes.
Good. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what we're going to see is that, Gretchen, our work is very valuable, and what you're going to see is that what you have been following along with me tonight and through the newsletter is resolution and a goal, an action step, that you can begin to show your daughter, right, through saying, I am looking at this program right now where I'm just looking at one thing that I want to make better this year and how I take an action towards that. So let's say your daughter has stuff going on with self-esteem right now, right?
Yeah.
So that a resolution that we could offer to her is, I know you're feeling really bad about yourself. As mother and daughter, is there something we could do together once a month that we work on you feeling better about yourself?
Okay.
So let's say we are just going to run her through this on a sidebar, knowing that we're offering her real tools. So let's imagine one of the things, it may seem really silly, right? But she's going to get out there, look for jobs, present herself. So the first month, let's say, oh, it really always makes us feel better to get a haircut. Let's go and have a girl's day at the salon, right?
That's great.
So as a mom, we do really fun things, but we are promoting, how can we take one step a month that you feel better about who you are? We're going to do that together, right?
Okay.
Okay, so right away we're working. The resolution for you with her is to support her in self-esteem. That's the emotional piece, right?
Okay.
Okay, and then the rational goal, this is you offering service to her. Because understand, as her mother, you're already offering wisdom. You're already sending her, I trust in this downtime. I trust in your depression. I trust that you're going to figure it out. So as a parent, you're already doing all the steps that you need. So we're just going to do some action steps here, right?
Okay, sure.
So then with the goal piece, what you're looking for her is to take two big baby steps in any professional direction, right?
Yes.
And you and I have discussed that we know underneath that something with animals is part of her soul, right?
Absolutely.
So what we can do is make a suggestion. Okay, so now as a parent, we definitely can do the resolution thing because that's only once a month, right? But the goal thing, we can just gently make suggestions. I just have this powerful knowingness that I want to be with you around animals and figure out how you can be with animals more, right?
Yep.
So what you can do for yourself, because what you're trying to figure out is how do I model to her? How do I reflect this knowingness that I know that professionally she needs to be around animals because I can't tell her, right?
Yes.
Good. Listen to Goldie giggling in the back.
I know. It's,
it's so brilliant. I mean, I just love this.
And this is what we work on is how, as a parent, you know something and how to not overstep those boundaries, how to show
that's,
your children
yeah.
something without saying, here, this is what you're supposed to be doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, here's an example of my fear, though, which I'm always trying to curtail, is that the one good thing that happened to her last week is that she has applied to work at a veterinary office as a vet tech, and she would love to work there. It's actually a sustainable job, and it's just taking forever for an answer to be forthcoming, but accidentally she gets run into by the person who's running the office, and he's very apologetic that they haven't made a decision, and she states her case that she would love to work there, and he guarantees that they're going to do their best to get an answer to her. I think my fear is that, given her general depression and fear-based energies,
yes.
that it would push it away somehow.
That's all right. But
yeah.
look, but let's really look, Gretchen, that she mm-hmm. ran into the person, right?
Well, yes, I know. So there can't be a coincidence, but
right.
she
no,
did.
That is not that she's depressed. Part of the depression is this is not the total answer, the totality answer. It's the starting of the answer.
Exactly.
So what you just remind her is, okay, that one didn't work out, but you ran into the man. Come on, we all know synchronicity. Try again. Go to another place. This seems like a very logical path for you to go on. It's going to help sustain you. It's going to be around animals. It's
yes.
a great fit for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
You talk okay. the logic. This is the rational. See, we're on the goal side, so
mm-hmm.
we talk the rational here, right?
Yes. Yes.
You try again. If you don't succeed, try again, right?
Oh, that is going to be the very, very, very hard part. There's very few jobs, and, you know, this was, it will be a blow for sure if this doesn't work out.
All right, so let's not put that it won't. Let's say whatever shows up is truth, and this
okay.
is a lesson that everyone is about to hear. So I'm going to say it again.
Okay.
If you don't succeed, try and try again. We've heard things in rounds of three. Three strikes and you're out. You've got to try three times. You just don't go out there once and get what you want, because that is not showing the universe that you have any faith at all. That's the universe. That's you saying, I want candy, and the universe says, okay, here you go, right?
Uh-huh.
That's not how it works here. I want candy, right? Nobody gets
yes.
candy. You got to ask several times, and you got to show that you have earned that candy, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That you want to reflect to your child. If you don't succeed, try and try again. You were excited. You were motivated. You thought it was a good match. We're
mm-hmm.
going to look someplace else. Keep on digging in this animal realm, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you've got to be the voice of positive, the voice of reason, and the voice that no success comes on the first time out. It just doesn't.
Okay.
That's not how it works here, right?
Yes, I get it. Okay. All right.
To complete this, Gretchen, right? So whether she gets this job or not, the thing you can do towards her goal, which is a soulful goal of understanding soulful work,
mm-hmm.
is whether it's twice a month, because this is really her path, but you can really try and infuse in her conversations, create any time that you are being with her twice a month around animals. You might just say, hey, you want to go to an animal shelter with me and visit with dogs? Hey, let's go to so-and-so's house with animals. If you
you always bring out the best in me, Sophia. I just want to let you know what I do, because I, too, am an animal lover. It's absolutely a passion of mine, and this might help her to be hands-on. What I have done is I have found bird stores that sell the exotic birds.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And I have asked them, is it okay if I come in just as a volunteer to give the birds love until they're sold?
Oh, nice.
It's unbelievably bonding, because there are some of those birds have really been through traumatic experiences, like where they're, you know, like plucking the feathers out.
Yes.
And,
oh, that's great.
And, you know, they're like, are you kidding me? And I'm like, no, listen, I just need to be close to the birds.
Oh, that sounds so much like her. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, pet stores and bird places are very good. So
oh,
I wanted to share that.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Oh, that's really
Let me add in here, Goldie. Yes, what you're truly knowing from your gut is the energy of volunteer. So what you're inserting in here is offer two different ways, all these different suggestions to volunteer around animals. Because Gretchen, what you know is that the answer will kick in. Because the moment she's around animals, one way or another, the answer will kick in.
I do know this. I think this is
the animals will actually heal her depression.
They always have helped her. And that's why she's been away from them for almost 5 years now. So trying to do this massage therapy and energy healing. And it really has always been, she's one of those proverbial animals find her and follow her home kind of person, goes to a foreign country, finds the feral cats and feeds them kind of thing. So it's definitely clear that that's her purpose. It's just how to sustain herself until she can create a situation where she can, have a living and do the work she is meant to do.
Or maybe be a massage therapist for horses. I mean, she might be able to integrate them too.
Yeah, that's very true. That's
right. Okay, yes, and I know they exist, so. Especially if there's a racetrack around. Sorry.
I know.
I'm going to interrupt both of you right now, right?
Yes.
There's the interruption. We're not here to fix it, remember. We're not here to solve her problem. That's not what we're doing. You ready? Get out. We're not here to solve the problem, right?
Absolutely true, yes. Yes.
We're here to know what we know, offer our own steps of a resolution and a goal that just models, puts her in an environment where she can get her own answer. Don't forget that.
Perfect. I know. That's the hardest thing, I know, to remember.
We're not here to give out answers. We're here to show the right environment and hold the energy in our own knowingness. Fair enough?
Absolutely. It's brilliant, Sophie. You're right. Inspiration is what
always,
we need to focus
always.
On. Inspiration. Indeed.
Yes. Yes,
and if you notice, both of your voices have softened because what happens is you're both intuitives and you're like, ooh, the answer, right? And
I fell for the trap again. Yes, I do it all the time. Yes, it's a good reminder, Sophia. Thank you so much.
It's the downfall of intuitives. We're not here to give answers. We're here to show environments where people find their solutions. Let me say that again because this is not just for you guys. This is for everyone. As intuitives, we get that we can get people's answers. That's not why we're intuitive. That's not the point of being intuitive. The point is to understand an answer and to provide someone the environment, the space, the energy where they find their own solution. They find their own answer. They get their own insight. That's the purpose of being psychic. That's the point of being sensitive, to sense the environment that they need and to gently send them in that direction because the environment will answer it for them. Their soul will answer it for them. Make sense?
Wonderful, as always, Sophia.
Yes.
Thank you.
I can't help to interrupt because intuitives get excited and they start vibing off of one another, right?
We'll have to meet someday,
Goldie.
We'll
have to do a show. You'll have to come on the show when you're telling stories about your kids and how wonderful they're doing.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, definitely. I'll be there. Well, thank you so much, Sophia, as always.
Thank you, my friend.
I love it. Thank you so much again.
All right.
Gretchen, thank you for calling in. I appreciate your energy.
Thank you, Goldie. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
My pleasure. Yeah.
Namaste,
sister. Okay. All right. We have other callers, so let's just keep going.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Okay. Area code 919, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air with Goddess Sophia.
Oh, hey, Sophia and Goldie. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Hey, who's speaking?
My name is Eli.
Hey.
And it's short for Elizabeth. And I think it's going with a theme right now. I have a 26-year-old daughter that has Down syndrome. And next week she's going to be having surgery and will not be able to walk for 8 to 12 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I live on a second floor apartment, so I can't bring her into my home to take care of her. She lives in a group home.
Okay.
And I'm just having a hard time dealing with that.
Yes, good. Okay, thank you so much for calling. And it really, you're giving everyone a great opportunity for us to really look at tangible struggles and how we can view them in a universal perspective, and then we can get down and get practical. So what I'm going to do is talk about your situation twofold. One is in a universal way, so don't get mad at me at first, because at first
no,
we're going to... Okay, but our first instinct is to go, ah, bah, humbug, that doesn't really help me. Metaphors don't help me. But the universal perspective will help us get our practical answers. Does that make sense?
That does. Thank
you. Okay, so let's talk about Down syndrome. Let's first say that you are very gifted to have this child, because one of the gifts of Down syndrome, let's even look at the name, Down syndrome, is to bring humans down to, let's say, real thought. What happens a lot with Down syndrome is that they speak from the gut. They speak from the belly. They don't speak from the head. They share what they know from a gut level, right down in the bones, down in the body. They speak just flat out truth with nothing padding them. Does that make sense?
Oh, she is definitely like that. She has been one of my greatest teachers.
Right?
Yeah, because, you know, when you were talking about the yellow brick road and the lion finding their courage, I mean, she is so courageous.
Good. So I want to make a suggestion. Hey, Goldie, we might have someone that you can interview right here about her child, right?
It's already showing up. Exactly what I was thinking.
What we want to
do. The universe is just looking. Even Gretchen. I mean, indeed. But I want her to have her wisdom that she came for tonight. Absolutely.
We're going to keep going. But what I want to do is connect the two of you after the show, because what your daughter is here to share is something big. And by connecting with Goldie, will give the platform for not only for your child to be the greatest master teacher for you, but for others. That's part of the point of Down syndrome. Does that make sense?
It does. And yes.
Good. So let's say your child is here to teach people things. And the more we can pair up her wisdom with those that have platforms to say, Down syndrome children really have something to say. We really got to listen to these children, because what they're saying is valuable, okay?
Yeah.
Good. All right. So right away we're saying that your child is a gift, that down, she speaks from the bones. It's your child is a she, yes?
Yes.
Do you mind?
Her name is Carolyn.
Thank you, Carolyn. Thank you. That Carolyn really has that childlike spirit, but I love how she just catches people, right? She speaks things and people go, whoa, right?
Well, she's a big hugger.
Yes.
She has a very limited vocabulary.
Okay.
But everybody knows her. That's
yes.
Met her. And how she keeps going and, you know, the intense pain that she's in, I'm amazed by that.
Okay, so let's start with we're going to start with the upside. So the upsides of Down syndrome is that she is a gift. One of her gifts are her hugs, and that is a language that she speaks, personal contact, surprising people with hugs. She's a hugger, right?
Yes, she is.
That there is a big gift, yet there is a burden to walking that walk. So let's imagine, okay, so here is the metaphor. Here's the hard part to swallow. So recently I talked about a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down, okay? So we're going to...
Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins. We're going to try to sweeten the truth up, because the truth is hard, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Down syndrome carries the weight of the world a lot of times, so they begin to take on physical ailments because of the challenge of walking in the world. So let's call Caroline a hugger, that she hugs like Amma. She touches and hugs and she lifts people by hugging them. Yet to walk around, so let's imagine your child hugs someone and what she does is lift a burden off of them. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Yeah.
And then she takes it and carries it on. So what's happening, the surgeries in her legs, it's the piece of how do you walk in the world as someone that lifts off pain and suffering off of people. So right away we see the legs are a metaphor of how difficult it is to walk in the world as a Down syndrome. Yes, enlightened one, because they are all enlightened. I'm going to say that again for everyone listening. Every single person with Down syndrome is enlightened. They came and embodied in that body for a reason, to awaken humanity. So feel that right now, that your child is an enlightened one.
Oh, I do. I do. And she originally broke her leg back in 2002 due to what I felt was a negligent caretaker who I trusted. And she sat in the emergency room for hours, never complained, no medicine, no, you know. And now, I mean, it's just.
Good.
And I am not the place to take care of her.
Good. So now. Here we go to the practical part, okay? So we're talking about all the metaphorical part about how Down syndrome children, it's hard to walk that path, and we're seeing breaking of the legs. We're seeing the manifestation of that in your child, the breaking of legs. A lot of times it has to do with legs, so you'll see braces on the legs. It's all about how do you walk as that, right?
Yeah.
So what
and
I want to say.
She refused to walk for 8 months.
Yes.
And even though she could have walked, she didn't. And then one day she decided, I'm going to walk. I don't want the potty chair in my room anymore. I don't want the wheelchair. And she walked.
Yes.
And now she's getting ready to go back into surgery, and he wants to put a cast up to her thigh. And I'm just, you know, so worried that she won't walk again.
Yes, good. So I'm going to say to you there's a strong possibility she will, okay, she will walk again. And then I want to tell you what this means to you. Because anytime we are a parent of, there is a very particular message for you and the people around you. So the legs, the cast, the walking. So this is the hard part. So the sugary part is talking about her bigger picture, her big bigger, being an enlightened one. Here's the hard part, okay? The hard part is activating our own legs right now. Her leg message is activating your own legs and starting to get out there, and it's going to sound silly to start with, but to walk the pavement on how do you get assistance for your child? How do you look for community support? And how do you say, my child has casts. We live on the second floor. I need help. I need, as a community, us to stand up and take care of my child. I need everyone to see that she is a gift and that she needs our help right now. So part of why we're talking today is to give you the courage to know that you can go out there and put up flyers. You can go out there and ask people to help you right now, because, beloved, both of you deserve help. Does that make sense?
It does.
Walking the walk. So let's ask, where is she going to go after the surgery? Do you have a plan right now?
Yes, she's already in a group home.
Okay.
So she will go back there. But I don't think they're aware enough of what it's going to be like to take care of somebody that cannot get in the shower anymore.
Yes.
If she wets in the bed, then, she's going to wet the cast.
Yes.
How are they going to know, the incision site if it's infected? Unless, I'm there 24/7 and I, work a full-time job and a part-time job.
Yes.
So, take care. you know, take care of her.
Good. So this is the real evidence that you need help, right? You need
help. Yeah.
You need help. And what I'm here to tell you today, I want you to begin to ask for help. I want you to really begin to look at how and who can I resource? What communities can I go to? How can I get some anywhere my story to be seen and ask for help? Because I need help to care for my child. And without help, she won't get taken care of in the proper way. So ready? This is where the lion comes in, pushing us to take all that action of courage, because it's really hard to go out
it
in
is.
The world and ask for help.
Right, because in the past, I felt when I spoke my courage, there were repercussions on my daughter. And because she cannot express herself, things could happen to her that I am not aware of.
Okay, so this is you asking for help in the particular places that she is. So let's say help in the group home, they're getting better. They don't have the capacity to help her in that level. So that's why it backfires, because they are already overworked. They already don't have the capacity to fully deal with what is the challenges presented to them. So what we're asking here is outside help, right?
Outside help, okay.
What you're looking is to resource. So if you're a part of a Facebook community, if there's a local community that you're a part of, we can send out the message through the Christina Sophia community, is that we will share the story and start asking people around you, set someplace up for a donation site, anything where you ask for outside help, because what you need is financial help, as well as asking the question, are there volunteers? So this is where we just came off of someone talking where we talked about volunteers. Are there volunteers that I can get people to come in and volunteer their time to assist her as she is going through this leg process coming off of the casts? So really, this is the courage of going out in the world and asking the world to help, just like everyone in Haiti right now, right, is standing up and saying, I need help. This is you saying, I have a personal earthquake in my life right now. My life and my child's legs don't work, and I need help to help her walk again. Someone help me. I'm in your backyard. I'm right here, right?
Yes, yes. And I saw your YouTube video on that.
Good.
On everybody is going through a personal earthquake.
Exactly.
And I thought it was just brilliant, brilliant.
So what we're going to do right now, all of us in this community that's listening, we're going to send energetic support. And if you do me a favor and write into the Christina Sophia with your information, we can start to say, how do we get you posted on Facebook? And how
also, write to me, because I have a friend of mine who has a daughter that is emotionally and mentally challenged.
Mm-hmm.
And she is like the queen of resources that I can ask her. If you give me your number, either you can, I can give you her number, or she can call you. So, I mean, immediately as soon as this comes up, I want to connect you two. So,
okay.
I didn't mean to interrupt, Sophia. Sorry.
There's no problem. Interruption is perfect here, because the real story is about putting out there and asking for help and seeing that most people, if you ask them directly, if you go up to people and tell them the story and say, can you help me? You'd be surprised that people will take action. Even if it's only $10, even if it's only, here is a phone number, here is someone that can talk to you about it. You might not get exactly what you think you need, but you might get the steps that lead you to feeling better, the resources you need, and getting the help that's needed. Once you ask for help and you direct the help, this is what I need. I could use money. Here is a donation site. I could use volunteers. I could use someone to talk to, right? Once you define the help you need, you give people opportunity to take up and step up and take an action. And you'd be surprised, a lot of people will, especially those in your backyard, especially those that people that know her around town. Go around, put a donation can, go around, put a flyer. Every time you see one, you remember my daughter, the hugger? She needs help. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for donations. All those people, every single person she has hugged, they will give you something because they know she lifted a part of their pain and suffering off. They know that part of why her legs are hurting right now is because she's carrying part of their weight as well.
That's
can you feel
Thank
that,
you.
Beloved?
I do. And, you know, with Carolyn, you know, she just is always thinking about the next dance.
Yeah.
Despite all her pain, she just
Good.
Wants to go out there and be a diva and dance.
Good. So already you're getting your themes here. Help my daughter walk, help her dance again. You could look at putting together a little dance event, maybe. Go to a local dance studio, ask mm-hmm. them to do a charity event, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this thing about a flyer, going around with a flyer, a picture of your daughter calling her, hugging, yes, the hugging lovely one. Give her a name, right? Go around and
yeah.
saying, hang the posters up, have little cans, and you will be surprised that it will go a long way. Her hugs heal everyone. She heals everyone. And given the opportunity, they want to help heal her. Feel that. How does that feel? Can you try this?
I can, yes.
Good. It takes a lot, but call on any friends, call on anyone and say, push me, bring the lion forward, push me to take these steps because you can do it. And what's really going to feel good to you is you're going to see how much she affects everyone in that your local community remembers her and they will take small actions. Whatever they can, they will help. And we will do what we can by spreading the word here, so keep connected and know that you have the strength. You birthed this beautiful child. You have the strength. You have the answers. You're on your yellow brick road. We just need support right now for you. We need the courage to ask, I need help. I need my community to help in every community that connects to this. Good?
Thank you. Bless you so much for that.
Bless you, beloved. So don't forget to connect both with Goldie, connect with the Christina Sophia site, and through
yes.
all of this, we'll start to set out the word, and really your action steps, right, are getting
right.
into
my
your
my New Year's resolutions, right? Yes.
Good. Your New Year's resolutions is how do I ask, right, for assistance.
Right, how do I ask? Okay.
How do I ask? And then you're going to take two goal steps where you're getting out there and putting something out there, whether it's a can, a flyer, a PayPal place where people can make donations, whatever it is. You've got your
okay.
New Year's resolutions and make two steps towards this because you will get support.
Thank you.
All right, let's give everyone a big hug. Let's all feel us hugging. Yum, yum, yum.
For
and
both
we'll,
you and Carolyn. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, my
thank
friend.
You.
Thank
right.
you so much for calling and definitely
oh,
stay
and
in touch.
I cannot wait to read your book, Goldie.
Well, yeah, it's going to be amazing. Hey, you never know.
Great.
Carolyn's story
oh,
could be in
God.
There. Thank
yeah.
you so much. Thank you.
You're
Namaste,
welcome.
Sister. Namaste.
Namaste. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're most welcome. Wow, Sophia. Boy. Blessed, we have great shows.
Okay, good, good. And this is right on the whole theme of Haiti right now, and that is a theme. Ask for the help you need. Look in your own backyard and see what is there that I can offer. I can take a step. I can take an action. And it's so lovely she called in tonight because we all go, oh, God, we've all met someone like Caroline that hugs us, that we say, wow, and if given an opportunity we knew she'd need help, we'd all step up, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Good.
Absolutely. And the word that came up for me was the hugging angel.
Thank you. I was waiting for you to fill in.
Yeah, I didn't want to interrupt. That's so crazy. But yes, the hugging angel, and I hope Eli is still listening to the show. If not, I will clearly share that with her when she connects with me, email or phone. Because I also want to add in, you know, based on the theme of where we are, the autistic children are also very misunderstood from a diagnostic space in our culture. I also believe
I don't even believe, I know they are way, way high in their frequencies. And blessed be, they are physically here to ground a frequency that they might not want to dance so much in this frequency, but because they're physically on the planet, where they are is, you know, the body becomes the conduit, and the earth and our consciousness is blessed with their frequency. So also yeah. And I have a story about that, but I'll put it in the book.
Well, what I want to say to you, you're already starting to score some of your shows here. You're already starting to put a sound together, because autism, right, you could do a show on that where, let's say, you invited 2 to 3 different guests to join you throughout the show to talk on their perspective of autism and to really open up the bigger universal picture of what's going on and what types of energies that they are grounding in. So you're, again, beginning to plan out, whether it be a small story or an actual radio program, where you can resource several people on, you could resource myself. That's a show that we could do. What does autism mean? What does it mean from a universal picture? But you also want to look at people who have spent a long time, careers, looking at that as well. So you know,
absolutely. Like, I like the parents, when I, in my years of nannying, I have been with parents. There was this one woman, she became an advocate of autism because her child had autism, and she wanted to learn about autism. And, you know, she started understanding that she could connect with her daughter not necessarily verbally, but telepathically.
Mm.
And that, you know, she started expanding her perspective of communication and intelligence. And but there was another family I worked for that had an autistic child, and this family in particular, the mother was still in denial and didn't want the child to do the repetitive actions that comes with autism, and, you know, had asked me, okay, you know, after 15 minutes of him walking in this circle, you know, tell him to stop. And, you know, I had already worked with this other family who was, they were masterfully handling it. So when this woman said that to me, I went, no, that doesn't feel right. And she was like, listen, I told you to tell him to stop. And, you know, I was like, well, okay, I'll try. And the little boy bit me.
Oh.
And in all honesty, when in the nanny world, if your child bites me, I looked at her and I said, you know, I honor wherever you choose to parent, but I'm out of here. Because it was like, it was so clear to me, the second family was not honoring the wisdom of the child because they weren't even accepting that he had autism.
Well, let's look at what you're sharing here. You're also sharing that a part of your sharing, a part of your repertoire, a part of your showing the wisdom of all different children is speaking on the misunderstood aspects as well. The biting, right, is a form of not understanding, ouch, creating an ouch. So your stories are not just the happy look at the wisdom of the children that parents get it. It's also look at the wisdom of the children who parents don't get it. I need to go in circles until you understand that. I'm going to bite you, I'm going to kick you, and I'm going to do everything until you get that message.
Yeah.
That
child
is just as wise as the other child, right?
Exactly. Because, you know, I was trying to convey to her, I didn't have enough of the language, but I was trying to convey to her that was a way to it was almost like walking a labyrinth for him. It was a way of him finding his center and being in a peaceful state, even though it was in movement. And
the way that you will reach these types of parents is through taking your action steps this year, actually creating a book where you have looked at and spoken and told different stories, held shows on it. You become your own expert, and you say to a parent like that, well, in my book I give several examples of children that are out showing these outlandish behavioral things, and that a little understanding, a little working with the stuff that's going on with them goes a long way. So what you're starting to say, Goldie, is that you also need an expertise, you need a platform, and the platform is your action steps. This is how we get the world to to pay attention to us. We take our action steps, we document it, and in doing so, we become the experts. As we are an expert in an area, then that parent starts to listen to us. Then a whole society starts to listen to us. So the plan of action this year for everyone is to follow through on our resolutions, our goals, because it creates a level of expertise. It gives us another level of a platform, because you know a lot, Goldie. Now it's creating that to be in a tangible package that presents it to the world. I am a nanny and beyond, because through my nanny skills, I have compiled a group of wisdom books, a group of understanding, a collection of how to view our children from a different perspective.
You know what the amazing part about it, this is so amazing, because there was a point in time where I wanted to stop nannying and just do radio, because I felt that the nannying was the tangible job, almost like the caller Gretchen's daughter. And I inevitably continued to nanny because, to be blunt, it paid the bills.
Yes.
But what I really learned was to have a life and not be around children, I think similar to Gretchen's daughter not being around the animals, there was such a void in my experience. I mean, I ended up connecting with a gentleman that, to make a long story short, conned me out of a tremendous amount of money. And it's so funny, because in that whole space, I'm going, you know, oh, this is wonderful. I don't, because I was looking at nannying more from the space of earning my money through hard labor. And I was looking at the radio as quote unquote easy money. But it, in both of that, it was never passion. Because I have absolutely since looked at, I don't look at what I do as work. What I do is, it illuminates my being. Being with my kids, especially since I don't have any of my own yet, I'm going to add that, yet. you know, when I was sad, Hanya brought that smile to my face. It's like, I have a situation now where I don't just spend time with them in their house. They come in the car with me. So we go out to lunch, and we go to playgrounds, and we go to, you know, they're my kids. You know what I mean? We're in the world, and we're expressing, and we're seeing other children, and we're stopping at Dunkin' Donuts having Dunkin' Munchkins. I mean, it's just like, I look and I say to myself, am I really blessed? Is this really, really my life? Because I can't believe what I'm doing right now is filling my bank account and paying my bills, because it is the greatest joy for me to be with these children. I mean, just the greatest joy. And now to have a book come, because it's so funny, Sophia, how I never saw this. I mean, I never saw it until you showed it to me tonight.
Good. So right here, I'm going to interrupt you, okay? What happens?
Okay.
Here's the interrupt. What happens? We get great insight, and our mind goes a million miles a minute. So if we were to track your mind, remember we've talked about this.
Yes.
Bing, 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 bing.
Yes.
Right, you're filling in 1,000 pieces all at once. So what we're going to do instead, for the moment, we're going to take a breath
okay.
In and out. What you're truly excited for is tonight we started to create a map for yourself. That map for yourself is a model for many people. What I do is I create maps that everyone can follow. And what happens is the moment we go, aha, we get so excited. There's a map, right?
Totally.
Crazy, and I'm only reflecting that because I love you and you're so great at doing this on air.
Oh, no, and it doesn't insult me at all. That is my energy, absolutely.
So we go a little, wow, we go a little hyper with it because
right.
We're so excited about it. So now we're going to flip it and reverse it. This is going to be a whole nother teaching tool that I teach it. We're going to flip and reverse.
Okay.
The excited. So you're excited, quick, filling in the blanks, quick. Remember, we've worked with rhythm before.
Yeah.
We're going to slow down. we're going to ground it, and we know we don't have to add in any more stories. That's add, add, add. We're going to subtract, 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 slow down, and know we created the structure, right?
Mm.
Based on your whole life, right? The whole life, nannying, not nannying, radio this, get screwed hard, this, up, up, blah, 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 right? That's all the story, right?
Yes.
That led to the insight. The insight is, my book and my radio show is starting to solidify. It's starting to find its structure. Up, I have a structure. Right? You get your answer.
Becomes comfort. Yeah, it becomes a comfortable thing because now I have a place to put things.
Exactly. So now we breathe and we don't figure it all out tonight because you know what? Just getting the map was a huge big deal, right?
Yeah, truth. Yeah.
So we don't add in the backstory that got to us or the future story where we're going to go. We stay in the moment, which says, so notice I have repeated over and over again. So notice the callers are repeating. They're calling in, my child. So we're getting repeat, right?
Right.
So what we do is say, aha, I got, so notice the last caller, she says, my resolution, my goals, right? So what we do is we repeat my resolution this year. So all your stories is a form of repeat, but we're going to subtract it down to the distilled essence of it, right? Resolution is to tell the wisdom story of children, goal, take actions this year to do it. In those actions, my book is going to be created, and in all of those actions, I create my heaven on earth. Boom, boom, right. Sorry for the boom, boom at the end, but yes, how fun was that?
It's so exciting. I mean, I'm really excited about this.
Good.
I can't wait to make little stars out of all, you know, out of all of the masters that I have worked with over the years.
Good. So we're going to leave that model on the table for everyone today, and we're going to look at, given the time, the reviewing of January, is that it's a perfect time, just like you saw Goldie on air tonight have an amazing insight. It's a perfect time, yes, 2010, perfect time.
Indeed,
right?
Indeed.
Trust that you're on your yellow brick road to get insight and to create the resolution and the goal and weave that through this entire year. That is the message. Because what's real important as public figures here is that we leave everyone listening tonight grounded, centered in the message of all that we worked on tonight, right? We worked, we went all these places. We want to ground everyone in that your answer is here too. Because what we just did is model what everyone can do when we trust, when we have resources, and we look on making trackable actions for the year. Does that make sense?
Oh, completely.
Good. So what I'm going to tell you as a radio host, one of the greatest things we can do is ground everyone in the truth of what we unfolded in this radio program tonight, right?
Indeed.
Good. So one of the truths were really that children are filled with wisdom, right? Our master.
Mm. Yes.
Good.
Yes.
So ready for the physical action? Let's really breathe that in. Children are wise. So let's breathe it in. Good. Second one, we're going to shake off all the wild energy about it, right?
Okay.
So, woo! Woo!
Yeah.
Woo, right?
Wait, ready?
Right.
I'll pop to that.
That. And then we're going, so we breathe it in, we shake it off, now we ground it. We go to those shoes, right? Those red shoes, and we ground this into the ground. Good. Breath, excitement, ground. Breath, excitement, ground. Good. So we got one piece of wisdom tonight. We always get to distill things into three pieces of wisdom. So the first piece of wisdom, right,
okay,
is this whole children are magic, whether it's in finding your own inner child through the imagination we talked about, looking at the children around you, the inspiration of your book. It has children to it. So wisdom.
Absolutely.
Number one.
Yes, yes, 101. The child is magic. Yes, yes.
Okay, so now we're going to track number two. Number two is creating an action, a plan of action, okay? So that's when we went and did the resolution, and we did the goals, right? So we got children, wow. Then we got accountability, making a system for ourselves. And then the third piece of wisdom we did tonight is that we chilled out at the very end of all this and reflected. We spent the last few minutes in reflection, grounding what we did together. So children are magic, create accountability, and ground in whatever process you do, ground and reflect upon it as the closing down, because we're closing down, not opening up. Make sense?
Totally. It's brilliant. It's brilliant.
All right, beloved, I'm going to bring Christina back to us, yes?
Okay. Okay. Thank you so, so much. It is always a divine dance when you're on the show. Third Thursdays are truly divine. Thank you so much.
Thank you, beloved, and really trust that we're all remembering right now. We're all on our path, our soulful path, our life purposes. We're all on it right now. Let's remember that. We're in the year of perfection, 2010. Hallelujah.
No fixing, just perfection.
Good. Thank you, my friends. Till next time.
Namaste, love. Namaste. Hey, wow is right.
Oh, what a journey.
I'm telling you. It's so funny because I thought the show was going to be about, you know, Goldie's, you know, just my whole cuckoo-ness that I've been going through like for the last 4 or 5 days intensely. And, you know, the unknowable shows up and it's about opening up a book. I mean, that is, it just, I'm always in awe of the process of life, that it truly will unfold, you know, miraculously in a moment.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think what's been really exciting about the changes in Sophia this year for me is witnessing how, like you're saying, a book, she's starting to show a trackable way, a map, like she's saying, a pathway to really get to that dream you want to manifest. And, you know, you can, the metaphor of a book, a movie, how to really create that book that's in you.
Yeah.
And I think that's
Please, no, go on, please. I'm so excited.
Oh, no, that's okay. I think that's what I really want to encourage everyone to come to the website. And really, I'm so excited about Insights this year, because what we're doing is a piece that's called Call to Action, where each week you're going to see the points distilled on what she's teaching. So I think the really exciting point about this year is that Sophia is going to really give all of us this map that we can follow and just fill in our details on, you know, we can all use this map to create this year to really work for us. So I think that's what we just saw tonight, is Sophia starting to really show us that map. Yay!
Yeah, well, because isn't that also like another aspect? Heaven on earth is about utilizing creativity, not doing things from a survival point of view,
right. But
genuinely creating our passions, creating our dreams, living out loud.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
And I think doing it both from the rational point of view or the trackable, the taking action point of view, as well as the intuitive, because I think that's what you're really going to watch her do this year is bridge the right and the left, the intuitive
right.
and the logical, the masculine and the feminine. I think that's what, you know, the brilliance of Sophia is we don't just work in one realm. We take advantage of, you know, all realms, which are how do we intuit things, but how do we follow through on them as well. So I think that's
yeah.
really exciting.
No, exactly. But that is an important piece for all of us to know. We are multidimensional beings.
Exactly, exactly.
So well, let's pull in from those realms.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So then, yeah, I just want to throw it to everyone. Check out the website, ChristinaSophia.com, and that I am totally excited about this year, and I am so excited for our radio shows, Goldine. I'm so excited to witness your whole children process unfold.
Oh, thank you. And listen, back at you. I was so lethargic before the show, and I'm laughing because I'm at a friend's house because of the computer situation, and I was like, listen, you know, I might need to take a nap before I go home tonight because, you know, I'm just really tired. And are you kidding me? I think I'm going to spread wings on the Toyota and we're going to fly. I mean, I just feel fulfilled from my toes to my nose. I mean, I feel fantastic.
Yay.
Thank you so much, Kristen. Yeah, these are really, really amazing, amazing shows. I feel like we're changing the world.
Oh,
I really do.
Thank you. They are amazing. And I just want to throw out that thanks to Sophia because it's really always magical to get on whatever ride she takes us on. So thank you.
No, absolutely. Yes, namaste to the goddess Sophia, always, as well as the goddess Christina.
Oh,
I mean, definitely,
and the
both of you.
Goldie.
Namaste.
You.
Exactly. We are quite, if we have to go by threes, we're a pretty good trio.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. I will speak to you next month. Have an amazing, amazing month.
You too. Bye,
Sophia. All right. Bye now.